Turn your Bibles, please, to Colossians chapter 3. As we have been trying to continue our studies and our consecutive expositions of this great book of the Bible, I want us to focus on today just verse 20, but we'll use Ephesians 6, 1 through 4 also as a commentary on the text that I want us to consider. Look at Colossians 3. I'll read verses 20 through 21, because I've entitled this whole section, beginning in verse 18, God's Directive to Families. Look at verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. And if you'd flip over to Ephesians 6, just a few pages back, there's a rather extended commentary on what we just read there as far as children are concerned and the fathers. Verse 1 of chapter 6 of Ephesians. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And then he sets forth what that promise is, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Let's look to the Word of God before we open up the text, please. Thank you again, Lord, that your Word speaks to us in every area of our life. And I pray as I speak primarily to children that you would bring conviction where conviction is necessary and encouragement where encouragement is necessary and comfort, whatever they need, whatever is needed. In all of us, we pray there'd be some application to us all. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you have been following the internet, you have probably seen the issue of about a young high school student who claims her parents threw her out of the house when she turned 18. And then she turned around and instituted a civil suit against her mother and father. She was attending the Morris Catholic High School and filed a lawsuit in the Superior Court of Morristown and sought the judge's declaration that she was still dependent as a student on her parents for support. She asked that her parents would, who haven't paid any outstanding debt on her tuition at the school, that they be ordered to settle that debt, pay her current living and transportation expenses, and commit an existing college fund to her, who has received acceptance letters from several colleges and universities this spring. Since the alleged abandonment by her parents, and I emphasize that because I want to show you how distorted this picture is, this teenager has been living in Rockaway Township with a family of her best friend and fellow students whose father's an attorney and a former Morris County freeholder. He's funding the lawsuit, and he hired an attorney. And he's included in the suit that they, parents also pay the legal fee, which up to that point was $12,000. The girl's father, a retired Lincoln Park police chief who currently works in Mount Olive Township Administrator, said his daughter's representation of the facts is not accurate. He fears she's being enabled by well-intentioned but ill-informed people. He said that his daughter voluntarily left home in October and was not thrown out of the house. We love our child and miss her. This is terrible. It's killing me and my wife. We have a child, we want home. We're not draconian. And we're not getting, and now we're getting hauled into court. She's demanding that we pay her bills, but she doesn't want to live at home, and she says, I don't want to live under your rules. The father said that his wife did stop paying on the tuition at the private school. They've kept her car because they paid for it. The father contended that she moved out because she didn't want to abide by simple household rules. She did not want to be respectful or keep a curfew. She wouldn't return borrowed things from her sisters. She wouldn't manage just a few chores. And considered or ended her relationship, she would not reconsider or end a relationship with a boyfriend that the parents believe was a bad influence. They said, we're brokenhearted, but what do you do when a child says, I don't want your rules, but I want everything under the sun and you to pay for it? The father said, adding that his daughter's college fund is available to her, has not been withdrawn or reallocated as she is alleged. She filed a certificate with the court that contends that the parents jointly decided on January 19th, on her 18th birthday, that she would be cut off from all support, both financially and emotionally. She said in her papers that the Morris County Catholic School advised her not to return home and contacted the State Division of Child Protection and Permanency about her alleged abuse. The daughter went on to say, and everything is recorded in the internet, was in the papers all over the place, my parents have rationalized their actions by blaming me for not following their rules, she said. They stopped paying my high school tuition to punish the school and me and have redirected my college fund, indicating their refusal to afford me an education as a punishment. The father said that a state representative visited their home for about 3 hours last fall and removed herself, and that the child had removed herself from her parents' sphere of influence. She was spoiled, and they discontinued the investigation. He said that he and his wife are beside themselves, that discord with their daughter had reached this level. According to his father, his daughter was seeing a therapist before moving out and was supposed to be taking certain medications. They contended she had disciplinary problems at school, was suspended twice, ignored her curfew at home, and bullied her younger sisters. The court ended up ruling in favor of her parents. There was finally one judge out there that had just that much common sense. Sean, why do you get me stirred up on that? He said they won't have to pay a dime for her school, her legal fees, or her child support payments. The judge spoke out about the decision, saying, ruling in favor of this girl could have potentially opened a Pandora's box. And listen to what he says. It's really insightful. We have to ask ourselves, do we want to establish a precedent where parents live in constant fear of enforcing the basic rules of the house? If they set a rule a child doesn't like, the child can move out, with another family, seek child support, want a car, cell phone, and a few $100,000 to go to college. Are we going to open the gates for a 12-year-old to sue for an iBox? Whatever that is. For 13-year-olds to sue for an iPhone? We should be mindful of the potential slippery slope. Since this first report, I'm glad to hear this, the young girl has returned home and hopefully has reconciled with her family. I hope that's the case. Now, after reading this and typing this in my introduction for the message, I was going to say this is an extreme case of a child refusing to obey the rules of her parents. But then I got to think about it. I said, well, maybe it's not as extreme as I thought it is. Young people have little or no respect for authority are fast becoming the norm in this society. You know, I know that's a broad general statement, but if you're out in the world, you can see that for yourself. This is underscored by the fact that many of our public schools have become armed camps. They have metal detectors that are used to be certain that deadly weapons are not brought into the school. Security guards now roam the hallways because of disorderly, out-of-control students. I personally know of a New Jersey state trooper who took a security job in one of our local schools but quit because he was kept from doing his job by the school administrators. He said the security guards were scorned, cursed at, and degraded, and he told me how they were degraded, but I'm not going to tell you, by the students, yet were instructed to take no action. Now, all this is a lead-in to the very important text I want to consider this morning in our consecutive studies in the book of Colossians, and it's from verse 20 of chapter 3 of Colossians. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Now, your outline shows you how I have broken down verses 20 and 21. For the sake of time, we're only going to deal with God's directive to children, and then, Lord willing, next time, God's directive to fathers. All right, let's look at God's directive to the children. Notice the scope of this directive. Look at verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things. Now, before I begin to open up the text, we need to settle on the meaning of the word children. The tendency is to think of just small children. I believe it also includes those who are older. It would include all those who are living at home and are still dependent on their parents' support. To put it in my dad's vernacular, as long as you're living under this roof, you're going to do what we say. Amen. And we did, too. Now, let's look at the substance of the directive in verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things. And the word obey means to hear under, to voluntarily place yourself under the authority of another, to submit to what your parents say. It means that you listen to them, you follow their directions, that you do what you tell them, what they tell you to do. It's a present imperative, which means that you are to constantly be in the process of obeying your parents. Notice, look at the text, in all things. It means there's no exceptions. The text in Ephesians 6 may help us. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. In other words, as long as what the parents are asking you is consistent with the law of the land, the righteous norms of society, and with God's word, children who are still under parental care are to obey the rules of the household at all times. But there's something within us that just doesn't want to do that. We are born with a rebellious spirit. That's why the wives are commanded to submit to their husbands. Why? Because they don't want to do that. We all have that rebellious spirit. Husbands are to love their wives, but without the grace of God, we won't love them as Christ loved the church. We'll love them for what we can get out of it. And when it comes to children, they don't want to obey because we've all been born with that rebellious spirit. Even the Lord said this after the flood in Genesis 8:21, "Never again will I curse the ground because of man, even though every inclination of his heart is evil from his youth." Psalm 51:5. This is from the new NIV. I usually don't refer to that because it's what's called I forget what it's called. It's trying to give you the thought rather than be involved in the actual translation of the words. But I think it gives a point. Psalm 51:5. "Surely I was sinful from birth. sinful, listen to this, from the time my mother conceived me. In the view of God, the moment the egg and the sperm met in the womb of the mother, God saw that individual as a sinful person. Psalm 58:3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. Little babies lie. Little infants lie as soon as they come out of the womb. This may be a surprise to you parents who have infants. They are little cute, cuddly, kissable, but they're little pagan liars. They cry like they are in terrible pain when they just want something to eat or they want to be held. They're speaking lies. I adore little Elizabeth Joseph and Charity Isaac. But even though they are infants, they tell lies. See, by nature, we don't want to obey. You tell your child to do not to do something, and they may never even thought about doing what you tell them not to do, but the moment you tell them not to do it, that's the very thing they want to do. We're all like that. This happened years ago, but I'll never forget it. Jan and I were up at Word of Life for a week, and we're sitting in the big lounge room, and there was this couple sitting in a couch, and the little girl, I'll never forget her name was Marcy, cute little thing. She had her back to a big coffee table, and on this coffee table was this beautiful bouquet of flowers. And Marcy was like standing in front of her mom playing with some kind of toy in her mom's lap. And I don't know why, but out of the blue, the mother says, "Now, Marcy, I don't want you to touch them flowers." And all of a sudden, her eyes wide open, she turns around, and she wants to dive into them flowers. You can see her like this. She didn't even know the flowers were there until her mom said, "Don't do it." Jan and I and Rhonda and Tim went to the shore one year and rented a home down there. And they had a dresser drawer. And it probably had 6 drawers in it. And on one of the drawers it says, "Do not open this drawer." And I walk by it and I say, "I wonder why they don't want us to open that drawer." And then there's 6 other drawers. I didn't want to open the other drawers. I wanted to know what was in that drawer. All week long, I go by, and finally, the last couple of days, when I went by, I went, I yanked that thing open. I got to see what's in there. There wasn't nothing in there. Just the fact that it said, "Don't open it," I was determined I was going to open that drawer. There is a something naturally in us that wants to rebel when we are told to obey. Children, the Bible says, obey your parents at all times. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, and the rod of correction will drive it far from him. The importance of this is seen by the fact that disobedient to parents is often lumped in with the most heinous of sins. I want you to look at 2 texts of Scripture to see what I mean. Go over to Romans chapter 1, please. Romans chapter 1. Paul is showing how society self-destructs when it begins to not accept the fact that there's a God and they try to invent reasons for why, how things came into being. And each time God gives them over. I'm just going to read beginning in verse 28. And this is happening in our nation right now. Look at verse 28. "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge," they wanted to purge God, and there's an attempt to purge God from our national conscience. "Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over." In other words, He didn't give up to him. It's like you're on a wild stallion and you don't want to hold it back. You just let it run loose. He removes restraint over the sinfulness of that society. And notice how it self-destructs. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. It's lumped right in there with all those heinous and wicked sins. Look at 1 Timothy. One of the marks of the last days are certain that will be the rise up of certain sins. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Excuse me, 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm sorry. 2 Timothy chapter 3. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. Just want to give you an indication of how God sees this sin. He lumps that in with what we would call the great, the exceedingly sinful sins. Not only is this sin lumped in with the most heinous of sins, it was punishable by death under the old covenant. Exodus 21:15. Anyone who attacks his father or mother must be put to death. Exodus 21:17. Anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. Leviticus 20:9. And if anyone curses his father or mother, he must be put to death. He has cursed his father and his mother, and his blood will be on his own head. Proverbs 30:17. The eye that mocks a father, that scorns obedience to a mother, will be picked out by the ravens of the valley and will be eaten by the vultures. I'm not sure what that means, but whatever it is, it's not good. And if you read Deuteronomy 21, and let's turn there very quickly, please. Deuteronomy 21. This would have to be very, very difficult to fulfill. Deuteronomy 21, verse 18. What I'm trying to do is put a handle on this whole thing of disobedience and what God thinks of it and how wicked it really is. We don't see it as wicked as God sees it. And that's the reason why many times we let our children get away without being obedient. Look at verse 18 of Deuteronomy 21. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them. In other words, they tried to bring him under control. Then his father and his mother shall take hold of him, bring him out to the elders of the city, to the gate of the city, and they will say to the elders of the city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He's a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Now, we may consider these words to be extreme and it may be a little almost barbaric. However, we miss the point. First, the Lord is demonstrating how much he hates this sin. Secondly, he's emphasizing that respect for authority in the home is essential to a stable society. Rebellion in a home plays a major part in the growing rebellion in our society. So we see, first of all, the substance of this directive. Then I want to consider what I've called the extension of this directive. Children, obey your parents. And with that, we need to go to the text in Ephesians 6, if you would turn there, please. Ephesians 6. verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. What is that promise? That it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. To honor someone is to place great weight and value on their counsel. Among other things, honoring our parents means speaking to them and to them of them and to them with respect. No parent should tolerate disrespect from their child. I remember my oldest brother, we were sitting around the table, and he said something to my mom. And the next thing I know, he went flying off that chair. My dad whacked him right across the face, and he went flying off that chair. He said, "Don't you ever let me hear you speak to your mother like that again." Ted never did either. You say, that's harsh. No, that's what he should have gotten. A child that is abusive or disrespectful needs to be shown the negative consequences of such behavior in those uncertain terms. Now, how you do that, that's up to you as parents, but they should realize there's consequences to this, consequences that are severe enough to make them think twice. Young people, this shows the negative consequences of such behavior in no uncertain terms. This also refers to you when you're talking about your parents to your friends. You don't refer to them as my old man or my old lady. They are your mother and your father and deserve your respect. But please note that this respect does not end when you move out of the house. Listen to Proverbs 23:22. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. That assumes you're old now and you've moved out of the house and probably with your own family. You still honor them and respect them. Though we change our relationship with our parents when we leave home, we should still honor and respect them. Honoring your parents means being aware of and concerned for their needs and their feelings. Young people, everything you say and do reflects either positively or negatively on your mom and dad. You ever think of that? A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son grief to his mother. We honor our parents much like we honor the Lord by living appropriately. Most children don't give much thought to the impact their behavior has on their parents or anyone else. The child who is seeking to honor his parents remembers that their actions reflect on mom and dad. Honor your parents means being grateful for the things you have been given. We tend to take these for granted. Food, the provisions, chauffeuring us all around, the care while you're sick, the encouragement received. Every once in a while, a person who is honoring their parents should make it a point to say, "Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Dad." A person who honors their parents notices their efforts and is grateful. I thank God for the Christian heritage my parents gave me, but I regret that I did not thank them more while they were still alive. I still regret that I did not let them know how thankful I was and am for the Christian heritage they gave to me. Once we leave home, we are responsible for making our own decisions, but we are still called to honor our parents by being sure that their needs are taken care of. 1 Timothy 5:4. If a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn, first of all, to show piety at home and repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. There are some in this place this morning who have done just that. Nora took care of her widowed mother for 18 years or more. Is that right, Nora? 18 years? And she always used to tell me, I do it with joy. And that blessed me. Even when Ruthie became bedridden and she needed attention constantly. Jan took care of her mom for many years. She helped take care of my dad. And with my mom, with critical care, she had to, when mom was dying from lung cancer, she had to be dealt with as if she was an infant. She had to be cleaned and everything that you needed to do because mom could not take care of herself anymore. And I've thanked Jan for this, and I've never heard her complain all the time she took care of her parents and my parents. Alma and Mick took care of Alma's mother for several years. Melanie, Debbie, and Ginger are helping Mick look after Alma during her recent physical struggles. Carol Fox has been looking out for Sarah for many years. Leanne and her sister Melissa will be playing a major role in taking care of their father, Mike, now that he's home from the hospital. Tony and Linda have looked after their parents for many, many years. And for any others I have overlooked, I want to remind you of the last part of that text I read. It says, if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn, first of all, to show piety at home and to repay their parents. Listen to this. For this is good and acceptable before God. Amen. The Lord is aware of the care, the time, the effort you gave and are giving in caring for aged parents, and He is well pleased with you. Hebrews 6:10, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward His name, in that you minister to the saints and do minister. You remember that text in Matthew where Jesus said, as surely is as much as you took care of the needs of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. That's something. You remember that text. Keep it in the back of your mind. If and when the care of elderly parents begins to feel like a burden, too heavy, and it seems like it's never going to end, remind yourself that as you are taking care of the needs of your parents or your spouse's parents, you are also taking care of the precious Lord Jesus. In expanding on this matter, the children of aging parents are not to burden the church with their care. That doesn't mean the church can't help out. But 1 Timothy 5:16, if any believing man or woman has widows, let them relieve them. And do not let the church be a burden, that it may relieve those who are really in need. What are some of the motives for obeying this directive? We saw from our text here in Colossians, if you turn there back very quickly, please, it's well-pleasing to the Lord. Children, obey your parents in all things, for Paul has set down a command that we are to obey on an ongoing basis. Then he supplies us with one of the results or the reasons for obeying this command. For this is well-pleasing to the Lord. He's explaining why it's advantageous for children to obey the parents. It pleases God. Throughout the Old Testament, this is the highest goal of a believer. Just look over at chapter 1 of Colossians, verse 10. You might remember this when we were going through this portion of Colossians. Just breaking in on Paul's line of thought in verse 10, chapter 1, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. Obedience to God's word pleases our Lord Jesus. What better way of showing appreciation for all the things that the Lord has done for us than to do those things that are well-pleasing unto Him. And children, being obedient to your parents, honoring mother and father in their older years, pleases the Lord. The words of the text emphasizes this. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Secondly, it's profitable. It's proper and profitable. If you just flip back to Ephesians again real quick, please. Chapter 6. Verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's right because it's God's way of establishing peace and order in a home rather than disorder and chaos. It's right because it's what God wants and desires. It shows honor and respect for the parents. And it shows honor and respect for the Lord Jesus in obeying His commands. Children, obeying your parents is right because virtually every culture and society recognizes that it is built upon the premise of children, that children are to respect and obey their parents. There is an order in nature ordained of God that argues for the righteousness of this action. Thirdly, it means to live a long life. Honor, verse 2 of Ephesians, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Now, this does not mean that every child who dies young dishonored their parents. He was stating a basic principle. When children obey their parents in the Lord, they will escape a good deal of the sin and the danger and thus avoid the things that could threaten or shorten their lives. But life is not measured only by quantity of time, but quality of time. God enriches the life of the obedient child no matter how long we live on the earth. Sin always robs us. Obedience always enriches us, so says Dr. Warren Wiersbe. Let me draw a couple lines of application to you children. This may come as a surprise to you, but your parents know more than you do.
Amen.
They don't know nothing. They don't know what's going on out there. Well, maybe some of the things are right, but you may think they're old-fashioned, you believe they don't know anything, but they've learned some things along the way. They have a perspective you need. They have made mistakes. They want you to avoid them. They have experienced pain, and they're trying to shield you from it. So there, here's something novel. Here's something novel, kids. Ask your parents for their opinion on something. Whoa! Most parents would probably faint. Ask them for their opinion on it. And then listen to them. When your parents tell you to do something you don't understand or agree, trust their judgment. Your parents love you more than you can imagine. I know there are some bad parents out there. There are some parents so absorbed with themselves, they don't love anybody but themselves, have no time for their children. But hopefully, and I don't know this, but hopefully that's the exception rather than the rule. Their counsel is anchored in love. I know you think the curfew is stupid, but your parents are trying to keep you safe. And help you to learn to set limits on your own life. I know you think dragging you to church is unfair. I hate that. But they're simply teaching you that God's way is a way that leads to life and happiness. As much as you think you love your boyfriend or girlfriend, your parents love you more than that. The counsel they give is not anchored in anything but love. Hopefully someday you will understand this. But if you don't, then I have great pity for you. A rebellious child will become a rebellious adult.
That's right.
Apart from the saving grace of God, listen to this, young men, a rebellious daughter will never become a submissive wife.
That's right.
Apart from the grace of God.
God's
word said it's better to live out in the wilderness with the wild animals than in a house with a contentious or rebellious wife. Apart from the saving grace of God, a rebellious son will never become a loving husband. Daughter, it's better for you to remain single than to be married to a man that is concerned only for himself. He only loves you for what he can get out of it. He doesn't love you as Christ loved the church and never will, apart from the grace of God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. May God be pleased to apply this to the hearts of our young people and to all of us in relationship to honoring our mother and father. I always said as long as I live on the earth, but maybe even after that, I try to uphold my mom and dad, even after they have long gone to be with the Lord, and honor them and speak highly of them for the heritage they have given me and for the things they have taught me. And for the time they have put up with me. Thank you, Lord, for this admonition. I pray it'll be applied to the hearts of those who need it. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this portion of your holy word. Thank you that we can take a short verse like this and with other texts of scripture enlarge and expand upon it. And I pray that you would speak to each young person in this place who are having trouble and are refusing to submit to the authority in their home, in the school, or wherever. You've already given them a taste of what kind of a horrible life this will be. Lord, get a hold of their hearts and minds. There are some who need to be saved. They'll never be controlled by the Spirit of God unless they have been saved by the blood of Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for parents that they would not quit and give up, but would not become discouraged. Lord, don't allow the devil to move in and accuse parents of not doing a good job simply because their children are rebellious. Lord, you have many rebellious children, and you're the perfect father. But may we pray for our parents and pray for the children of our parents that there would be more submission to their rule and that they would guide their children and direct them in the way they should go, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.